Welcome to Mighty Parenting, the podcast with real, raw, and relevant talk about raising teens and parenting young adults. Here are your hosts, Judy Davis and Sandy Fowler.
Welcome to Mighty Parenting, a community where we help you raise your teens and parent your 20-somethings so they can become happy, successful, and emotionally healthy adults. I'm Sandy Fowler. I am here with my co-host, Judy Davis, and doing another week of Mighty Parenting podcast. But I want to remind you that the podcast isn't all there is to Mighty Parenting. So pop on over to mightyparenting.com and check out what else we have there for you. Also, we have bonus material for many of our shows, so you can find out how to access that over on the website, on any of the show posts or through the Support Us tab. You'll see how that works there. Today, though, we are talking about struggling. I know I, as a parent, at times have struggled. I think that we all struggle at least sometimes, and sometimes it can feel like we're struggling all the time. And our kids are struggling too, but I think that a lot of their struggles and a lot of ours can come from the relationship that we have with our kids and how we parent and how our parenting affects that relationship. And I think that can cause issues for us and for our kids.
Yeah, and we talk about that a lot, Sandy, on the show. And we have experts that remind us that some of the strategies that we can use is teaching our kids personal responsibilities and walking alongside them as opposed to being a dictator. You know, really kind of as they get older and into their young teens, you know, I say 12, 13, stop. Take off our dictator, we know best, we are the authority of all of your life, and shift it to be a guide. We've heard that theme over and over, and this theme is so important, which is one of the reasons I'm really happy that Kim Minch is joining us today, because Kim is going to help us understand what it truly means to parent alongside our kids. And together we're going to uncover some ways that we can actually put some of these ideas and thoughts into practice. Kim is an expert and she is a certified parenting coach, author with a ton of personal experience. She is the mother of five. And she is so passionate about educating, supporting, and encouraging parents to do all these things that we just kind of mentioned in Sandy and my openings, and especially during those tween, teen, and young adult years. So welcome to the show, Kim.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Judy and Sandy, for having me. I'm really happy to be talking with you today.
Exactly. Yeah, we love this idea that we're going to kind of dig into some things more, because Kim, you have this message that you share that we should be parenting with our child rather than over them. And yeah, it almost seems like that's like a foundation of your work. So could you explain what you mean by a parenting with rather than over relationship and why that's so important?
I would love to. Thank you. So parenting with rather than over means that as a parent, we're taking on the role of being a guide rather than someone who is trying to direct and control and has their own agenda at times, which can be really difficult because traditionally parents are known to be the all-wise and imparting, you know, all we have all the knowledge that we're imparting and teaching our children. And certainly that is the case while they are younger and absolutely at times, critical times during their adolescence. However, I think as kids progress through their middle school and certainly into their high school years, it's important to come alongside of them as opposed to trying to parent over them and, you know, give them lots of rules and have all sorts of expectations. I know we're going to get into, you know, some certain, well, what does that actually look like? And I'm happy to give some examples from my own parenting as well as the parents that I coach. But really, ultimately, parenting with means that you're guiding as opposed to controlling.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's so intriguing to me because when I think about, you know, you said that we as parents shouldn't have an agenda, and that we parent from our experiences, right? And in this day and age, one thing that has become alarmingly clear to me is that we don't have the experience about what our kids are going through. And at no other time, I mean, we didn't have the technology they do. We didn't have the pressures of social media. We didn't have the extreme competition to get into college and all of the challenges that they're facing, we didn't experience. So I think now is the perfect time to put into practice what you're saying as this coming alongside and being with them.
Well, and if you think about it, everything evolves and changes. Is that right? I mean, just about everything changes, has changed and evolved over time. And one of the things that hasn't caught on as much is this is parenting. And why not? Why should this not change and evolve as the world changes? And, you know, I think we have a spectrum of parents, right? There's, I'm not suggesting that every parent is super controlling. I think, you know, there's tons of parents that are on the opposite end. And a lot of us are right in the middle. What I'm suggesting is for those of us in the middle to, as our kids continue to get older and more independent, to give them some latitude and come alongside them and see where they're going. I mean, I say, you know, our children come through us, but not for us. You know, it's a gift to be a part of their journey, and they can teach us as much. And I'm sure you would agree, you know, in terms of your own parenting, they can teach us as much, if not more, than I feel I've certainly imparted on my kids.
So Kim, if we don't do that, if we don't shift into this role, if we don't come alongside our kids, what happens? I mean, what are we likely to see happen in our children?
I think what you're going to see is some kids are fairly compliant, and they may, but typically not all the way through adolescence. I mean, you might have a really, I don't want to say obedient, that's maybe too strong a word, but compliant child that, you know, will listen to what you say and whatnot. There always gets to a point though, where that child, especially during these teen years, that they begin to form their own opinions and things. And that's when I think parents see kind of the backlash in the little things like eye rolling and maybe the attitude and maybe not wanting to participate in family activities as much. I mean, there's a natural part of that through any child's adolescence. However, it's markedly more, I think, when a parent is trying to impose too much and not giving enough choices to their kids.
Well, I was thinking about that when you said, you know, a child who's more compliant. I'm thinking about my girls and their polar opposite personalities and things. And I can see where with one of my girls that it would appear she was being compliant, but I think what would happen if we kept pushing that, or what would be likely, is for her to just to lie to us about things and to kind of block us out of her life and just not tell us because she's a quieter, more private person. Whereas my other one, you actually, when there's something that she doesn't like, you get the pushback. So.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing how our kids all have different personalities and how they all respond to us differently. But I certainly, from looking at my own growing up years, I know that I became sneakier when my parents, you know, tried to impose too much. And they did. I was the oldest of three. And, you know, I was their, I guess, guinea pig, for lack of a better word. And so I've tried in my own parenting to really learn, look at my own raising and learn how I can do things in a way that, you know, would have been more helpful to me as a teenager. Mm-hmm.
So as a parent, as I'm looking at this and thinking of all that you're saying, I might see some changes in behaviors in my kids. And it's hard to distinguish what is just typical for that and what would be an indicator that I'm parenting over my child. So is there something that might help me identify where I'm parenting over? Are there things that I'm going to feel personally as the parent, or is it just a reflection of our kids' behaviors?
I would say, as you know, as Sandy said, the pushback that you're, you know, receiving and feeling. And some parents, you know, I think one of the foundational things that I work with parents on is working on their own emotional well-being so that they're emotionally available to their kids. And what I mean by that is many parents have so much going on that when their child does push back a little bit or roll the eyes or maybe talk back a little bit, some parents will take this really personally, right? And it just amps up the tension between the parent and the child. When you're able to understand that in part this is teen behavior, some of this, you know, isolating or not isolating, but, you know, wanting to keep to oneself or, you know, have private conversations with their friends and whatnot, and you're not going to be privy to as much maybe information as you were when they were younger, then, I mean, it's about just understanding that's part of it and being okay with it. That doesn't mean that we accept disrespectful behavior. It just means kind of allowing some of that stuff to just be released and not pick your battles, I guess, like kind of like when they're two, you know. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, there are some, and as we go along and we talk about certain, you know, specific things that giving choices looks like and whatnot, we'll talk about non-negotiables and things like that as well.
So long-term, if we don't shift, you know, I'm trying to give our listeners kind of a basis of the importance of this. And if we don't shift, what are the long-term implications that could happen if we continue to do this parenting over, you know, kind of making the choices for our kids, being more helicoptery or not allowing them to be individual and take personal responsibility? If we do all those things, you know, what is that going to do to not only our relationship with our kids, but to their ability to succeed and find their own happiness in as they grow?
Well, I think one of the things you'll see, it's kind of taking a moment to reflect back on your own relationship with your own parents and how that went while you were growing up and what your relationship with them is at this point. I think that the risk to being more controlling and having, not giving much choice during the teen years is that when your child then does move on into whatever comes after high school or they, you know, move out into the world, that they may not want to, you know, spend time with you, may not, you know, want to be around. And I think parenting is for the long term. I have fantastic relationships with my now 21, 25, and 31-year-old sons who call me and say, "Hey, Mom, what's up?" You know, and they don't need anything. They don't want anything. They're just checking in because, you know, it's good to do that, and they love to come home. I think we all ultimately want that with our kids as they're adults. And the risk to being too over involved and not allowing your child to learn who they are is that your child potentially may have trouble launching, as we know that can happen to kids, and then partially may have resentment that's built up, that then you have this kind of, yes, the kid might be around in their 20s, but you know, maybe they don't really want to be, and I want my kids to want to be around.
Right. So can you give us some examples of what it looks like to be over-involved? What would be some of the things that we do as parents that are over-involved?
It would look like choosing your child's courses for them my example is that, you know, not allowing your children to have some choice in their course selection for their academics. That would be one thing. Pushing staying in a certain sport or extracurricular, band, theater, whatever it is, because you want them to, I don't know, get a scholarship someday. I mean, we all know that college is incredibly expensive. But, you know, to continue to push something that the child really doesn't have an interest in anymore. Trying to tell the child, like schedule the child so much during, you know, when their homework needs to be done, what time they need to go to bed. Some of these things are important. However, I think, and if you don't mind my leading into what choices look like, I'll give you an example of where I give my kids, my youngest two at this point are 13 and 16, girl and boy. And at this point, their what they choose in terms of their level of coursework is up to them. Their homework is entirely up to them. When they do their homework, they know they have to have it done. And if they choose to do it right after school, fantastic. If they choose to do it after dinner, great. If they choose to get up early in the morning and do it. If they choose not to do it at times, they're the ones that are going to, you know, be held to the consequences of that at school. So I think it's first of all, believing in your child's ability and not second guessing, you know, and also allowing them to have the consequences. I mean, Jessica Leahy's book, The Gift of Failure, is a fantastic example of why it's important to really allow our kids to have some failures and some challenges now to build their resilience for the future.
Mm-hmm. So I'm listening to what you're saying, and you're giving some really nice examples. And what I'm thinking of is, in talking with parents as my kids went through high school, I didn't have to be part of their homework or anything either. And I also had two girls who were self-motivated, and there's nature and nurture and all of that. But I'm thinking about this and going, if I'm a parent who has been very involved in my child's life, if I've been scheduling their days, like you said, you know, what time are you getting up? What time are you doing homework? When are you going to bed? Making sure their homework's done in that. If I just stop doing those things cold turkey, is that a way to do that? I mean, how do we make a transition if we feel that we've been over-parenting in an area? What are the actual steps we can take to transition from that to this parenting with our child?
I would say if something that we're talking about here is resonating with you as a parent, to really look at, okay, how are things going for us? How are things going in this parent-child relationship? And then that will tell you, I think, if maybe perhaps you're over controlling or over scheduling or overdoing in some way. And then it really behooves the parent to ask, okay, and what is our particular, where are our biggest challenges? Where is my greatest challenge with my child? Is it over schoolwork? Is it over kid is lazy and won't get off the couch? No way. It first starts with a parent looking within themselves and within the relationship to figure out where they might be overdoing something. And I wouldn't suggest, and I don't think any parent that's quote unquote helicopter parenting is all of a sudden going to stop doing all of these things. However, I think it takes some self-analysis and looking at where are the greatest challenges and maybe where is one place that I can begin to release a little bit and give that child some space.
I love that. It's not this humongous, you don't have to eat the whole cake. It's take a bite. Where is that one place that I can begin to shift that? And then it doesn't feel so overwhelming, and it doesn't, like, if all of a sudden we change our behaviors, our kids are just going to, like, not know what's going on. They're going to internalize it, and it could have consequences that we can't experience, you know.
Yes. And I don't think a parent that's been really, really involved is all of a sudden going to do that. However, you know, again, looking at what's my parent-child relationship like at this point? Is it not where, you know, full of tension and whatnot, and where are our biggest challenges between the two of us, and where might I be able to step back a little bit? And a lot of this has to do with parent being anxious, anxiety about, you know, and comparison. I mean, it leads into a whole lot of different things. It also has everything to do with the way you were parented, right? I mean, we all say, oh my God, I sound just like my mom, you know, or something like, you know, something like that. I can't believe I sound just like my mom. But the reality is that has a huge impact unless we're consciously looking at the way we were parented and making different choices if that's necessary, you know, and building the skills if we don't know what to do instead of what we had done for us or to us kind of thing.
Right. And I like your mention of building skills, because we need to build skills and our kids will need to build skills. If we have been setting their daily schedule, they have not built the skill to be able to do it themselves. So if we just suddenly out of the blue quit doing it, that's throwing them in the deep end of the pool without any, you know, floaties or swim lessons or anything. So again, like you said, taking this step and going, okay, where's one place that can pull back? And do you recommend that we talk to our teen or 20 something about this if we are going to make a major change like that,
Absolutely.
Even if it is just in one area?
Absolutely. I think also we have this, many people raising kids today were not given like the latitude of choice in their own, you know, growing up. And so this whole idea is obviously, you know, very new, and we've got to build our own skills, like you said, and help our children by giving them a little bit of space, but guidance as well. Again, it's such a, I like to say that parenting teens is really a tight, and young 20s is really a tightrope walk of knowing when to lean in and knowing when to kind of, you know, pull back a little bit and just allow them to have some mistakes and some challenges.
Mm-hmm. And is that done by trial and error, Kim?
Absolutely. I think so. I've seen lots of parents give too much too soon, and that leads to real problems, you know, like too much freedom and whatnot too soon generally leads to, you know, kids getting into risky behavior and stuff like that. But also holding too tight is, you know, another challenge. So it means knowing your child well, and you can't know your child well if you don't know yourself well and work on yourself. So I'm a huge proponent also of parents taking care of themselves emotionally and physically so that they're in tune with what's going on with their child. We're not going to know everything. We're not, there's no question about that. However, you can get a feel for how your child is doing and where there might be a challenge if you're more in tune with them and you have good conversation and good open communication with them.
So as we make these changes, what are some of the common responses or reactions from kids or different behaviors? What do you see as parents start handing over the reins to their kids?
Well, I think if a kid's been over-parented, I think at first they are probably going to ask, like you mentioned before, you know, what the heck is going on? But they might test you. What I say to parents I work with is that things may get worse before they get better, because if you're pulling back a little bit and giving them additional responsibility and choices in their life, and they're not used to that, it might be bumpy for a little bit, because they're going to test you, because you've traditionally responded in a certain way. And if you stop doing that, or you know, maybe don't push as much as you had in the past, they're definitely going to be like, what's going on here? However, then they have the opportunity, right, to step up and to step in. And it is, like Judy said, you know, real trial and error, and trial and triumph, trial and error, trial and triumph, you know, back and forth, up and down. And that's kind of what the whole period of adolescence is all about.
Mm-hmm. I really like that, I don't know, something about the way you express that, this idea that they actually need to push because we are not responding the way we have in the past. So they have no idea what this new normal is. And so they have to test us. They have to push just to understand their new environment.
Absolutely. And to the point of being vulnerable and open, I think that parents, I think it's very important to be open and vulnerable with your kids. I don't know. Can I give you a personal example?
Please.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. So Christmas Eve, this is a really real life parenting thing. Christmas Eve, my son, who is in seminary, was serving Mass, and all of our family was supposed to go. And my two youngest, 13 and 16, you know, not excited about going. And I said, we're going, it's a family thing, blah, 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 right? So we go and they sit quietly and don't really participate. And on the way out of Mass, I said to them, you know what? I was wrong, because when you go to services or whatever, I want you there wholeheartedly, and clearly you weren't. And so I want you to know that from here on out, I'm giving you the choice whether you attend or not. Now, I don't know, all parents would not necessarily agree with that. However, I want my kids to advocate for themselves and to embrace whatever religion or practices that they want to embrace, instead of being my forcing it on them, which in that moment was what I was doing. Because I'm like, we're going as a family, we're doing, you know, it was my agenda as opposed to their desire. And I would rather have them there with an open heart than there reluctantly.
Mm-hmm. Well, doesn't that go back to your idea of you have to know yourself and know your child? Because I'm listening to what you're saying and I can see different pieces to that. Like, I might have a child who doesn't go to services, and I know my child well enough to know that it's just because they don't want to get out of bed on Sunday morning. And so for me, I would look at that and go, I understand they don't want to get out of bed, and I'm going to get them out of bed because I think they need to experience this, as opposed to, you know, maybe you have a child who is very thoughtful about their spirituality and what they believe and don't believe and how they want to express it. You know, for me, those are the kinds of questions that would come up more, and it comes back to that knowing your child and knowing you. And as I'm saying it, I can also see where someone else could argue and go, well, yeah, they're too, you know, they're being lazy. They don't want to get up on Sunday morning, and by not letting them go, that's their consequences. I couldn't do that, but I can see, you know, another parent making that argument.
Yeah. Well, and as you see in that perfect example, right, I talk about being a conscious parent and I work hard at it. It's a practice. Like in that moment, in that day, at that, you know, it was a holiday, my son was participating, I thought we all needed to be there. And I still, to some degree, believe that. However, my kids are at an age, and I, you know, it would be different if they were, you know, 7 and 5 or, you know, whatever. They are, I feel like at 13 and 16, we've given them a base, and that I don't feel like I should have pushed my agenda in that moment, rather, and they have them there reluctantly rather than with an open heart, because I really feel like that's what community and being at Mass is about. And if they couldn't bring that, then, you know, I just, that was in that moment. Like I said, and part of it was my telling you that I will apologize regularly to my kids if I feel like I've overstepped. And I think they appreciate that, and they come and do the same with me, mm-hmm. if they need to. And I think, again, we're modeling so much, right? But we're also allowing them to see our humanness.
Well, yeah, I think a little piece in there, Jude, if I could, because it's still in regards. So would an alternative scenario here be that before Mass, having a conversation with them and sharing what's important to you about this, that you would really like to have the whole family there together. Their sibling is serving. This would be, you know, supporting them and what they're doing. Is that another alternative to just saying, well, we're going and you go where you go?
Absolutely. I mean, yes, absolutely. I could have done that. And then, you know, on top of that said, well, I'd love to have you join us. You know, would you come along? And maybe just for the sake of being together as a family and supporting their brother, you know, by explaining that to them, then that would have maybe changed their heart a little bit as well.
Well, and it's all about that conversation. I think, you know, one of the things that I'm hearing you say, Kim, is that when we're parenting with our kids, it is that dialogue that we have with them, showing what our needs are as a parent. You know, you wanted everyone to come to have a family experience on the holidays and all of that kind of thing. And being in that vulnerable place, being in that authentic and real place, then you're giving them all of the information that allow them to make a more grown-up choice.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
And I think that is the distinguishing, you know, that is where the line is for me. It's like, it doesn't have to be their way. It doesn't have to be my way, but with other adults in our lives and in our relationships, even in our marriages and friendships, it is about helping them understand where you're coming from. And that seems to be a skill or a, you know, this is a tip that we can use to carry us forward when we're parenting, you know, with our kids, which kind of brings me to that place of, what if you have a kid that has been ruling the roost, if you will, and has basically controlled everything, and now you want to take your power back? How would you suggest, if you can give us some examples or tips on how to come from it from the other side?
Sure, I understand. My first thing would be, again, for a parent to work on themselves in terms of what's really important. What are my values, and what are the qualities my child needs in the world in terms of compassion, empathy, sharing, some things like that. So as a parent, if the child has totally ruled the roost for X number of years, and now you really want to rein it in, the first thing is to get very clear with yourself on what are your values and what are your boundaries. And we do a lot of work on this with parents, and, you know, looking at what are your non-negotiables. In our house, there's a handful, and I think that's the thing. You know, you have to like have a few things that are really, really important that are non-negotiable to you, and then those are the things that you want to start by working on with the child. And it does come to a conversation with the child that's saying, look, this is the way we've done it in the past. It hasn't worked well for me as your parent, and I know I'm not setting you up for success if this continues, so things are going to change. And here, in the following ways, these are the things that are going to change. And again, I think it's just like we said in the beginning, you don't change everything overnight, because you're going to have a major power struggle on your hand if that's the case. I think what you do is, again, you get very clear on your boundaries, and you start with one particular thing that you're working on, and then you move into the other things. And just like where it's gotten to at this point with your child, it's not going to happen overnight. I mean, people have to realize that the time investment in this relationship and where you are today with your child has taken many small moments over time to get to. And we can't just snap our fingers and figure that it's just all going to get better. And, you know, we live in a world that wants to do that in terms of, you know, give us the quick answer. But the reality is, it means the parent getting clear with themselves and then being consistent with what they're doing with the child. And if they're not going to be consistent from day one, they're going to continue to struggle, right? So it's someone strongly either coaching that parent or a spouse really working with that parent together as a united front to implement what's been chosen as the boundaries.
That's really interesting to me, because it is still tying back, as you said, in some ways. It's also tying back into that know yourself. And if I haven't had the strength to really walk side by side with my child, I mean, our child might just be stronger than we are, or they might have more endurance than we do and just wear us down. So one of the things I'm hearing from you is that as we look at ourselves, we need to figure out, what do we need to be able to do that? Like you said, you know, finding another parent, a friend, a therapist, a coach, somebody who can help us work on ourselves and gain those skills that we need, or the strength that we need, to take our proper place next to our child, not be walking behind them. Like, I kind of see this before, you know, the helicopter parent sort of out front. And then this flip side is, you know, we've been letting the kids lead and run things, and we're in the back.
Mm-hmm. Yes. It's really about finding, again, the balance between those two things. And the only way you're going to find that is to spend some time working on yourself. And if there's a bazillion books out there, obviously, that are, you know, great for parents, but I think especially it's helpful to work with another adult, someone who has some, you know, experience under their belt and who has worked on themselves. And even though obviously, you know, you can work on yourself and it's a practice, what we're doing is a practice, and giving yourself some grace when, you know, maybe things go off the rails for a bit. Having compassion enough for yourself as well. I think parents can be really hard on themselves at times too.
I think that is such an important point, because we don't have compassion for ourselves, and constantly, you know, my head hits the pillow and I'm rehashing all different conversations I've had or things that I've said and wish I would have said it just a little bit differently or done. And I think we need to remember that we are people first. We're not infallible, and we aren't going to say the right thing at the exact right time. But that doesn't mean we can't come back and, like you said, apologize, revisit something, give our take on it. Because isn't that what it's all about? Is we're trying to empower our kids so that they can have a happy and successful and healthy life. And we modeling that doesn't just happen with a snap of a finger, or there isn't one certain way for that to play out, is really critical. And I appreciate that a lot.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. So parent self-compassion, parent self-care, parents being very clear. I think all of those things wrapped up is what helps create the open communication and, you know, being playful with your kids as well at times, just being human. Like, I don't know, you know, when the more we try and get to a place where we think we know all the answers and whatnot, I think our kids reflect that to us. Nothing triggers us more than our child's behavior that's showing us kind of exactly where we need to grow, is what I say.
Mm-hmm. I think that's true. I when my kids were little, I used to comment on it a lot. I'm like, yep, I can see every really irritating behavior and habit that I have. Because they mimic it, and it still happens when they're older, when they're teenagers. It's just that it's not little tiny things and tiny mannerisms. It's they've been taking in how to see the world and function in the world. And I think that can create a lot of the guilt that we've talked about with parents again, too, is we look back and go, oh my gosh, I shouldn't have done this. I shouldn't have done that, because now we see it coming out in them, mm-hmm. and it's a longer term thing. But I just want to take it there for just a minute and remind ourselves that it is never too late to go back and change that or work on it. Over this Christmas break, I was talking to my girls about some of the decisions I've made, oh my gosh, probably more than 15 years ago, that as I look back now, yeah, they impacted our family in a large way, and they impacted so many aspects of it. And some of the things that, you know, with emotional wellness and things that, you know, I've talked to my girls about from that standpoint, hey, you might find yourself struggling with this. You might be struggling with this because of the way things were for you growing up. And I came out over this break and I talked with them about, you know, these are some decisions I made. These are things I did. I had choices. I don't honestly know if I would do it differently now. I'm sorry about the way they impacted you. And I just had that conversation. And this talk has reminded me of it, because they were just so thoughtful. And Kim, when you were saying, you know, be vulnerable and be ourselves, they didn't give a strong reaction or say much of anything about it, but just that the way that they were in that moment, there was more connection between us. And mm-hmm. I could tell that they were feeling, I don't know if I wouldn't want to necessarily say more trusting, but maybe they felt more that I trusted them, that I view them more as the young adults that they are. It was interesting, and it made me think about the way you talked about, you know, being vulnerable, being open, and then pairing that with Judy's talk about the parent guilt. And I just want to remind us that it isn't too late. No matter what has happened, we can change what we're doing. And your advice here about working with our kids will help them and help strengthen our relationship with them.
Absolutely. I definitely think, and the reason that I choose to work with parents of adolescents is because they think it's too late, you know, and my whole thing is it's never too late. It's never too late to work on this relationship. It's never too late. I mean, I think you're being that these decisions that you made and whatnot 15 years ago that you're talking to your daughters about at this point is like you wanted to validate that they were, that you had contributed in some way to maybe something they experienced, and you wanted them to feel seen and heard now, even though, you know, they probably weren't thinking, or, you know, you brought it up and it wasn't necessarily maybe something they were thinking about. However, you validated them in that, having that discussion. That's probably why you felt more connected in that moment.
Yeah, doing the Mighty Parenting podcast makes Judy and I were talking about that when we did our reflection show, and that it has really opened up my eyes to so many things. My girls are subject to all kinds of conversations now. But this conversation's been really great, and I just want to kind of go back and summarize a few of the key points here. And that is that, Kim, you teach us to parent with our kids rather than over them. And that is about taking on this role of being a guide rather than just giving a lot of rules and controlling them. If we don't do this, we can start to see backlash and push back from our kids. And it can start with, you know, smaller things like eye rolling, but you get attitude. They can start to avoid the family, or they can get sneakier or argue with you more. And small amounts of that are a normal growing process. But when we find a lot of that going on, we might want to take that step back and look at, you know, what we've been doing and how we've been parenting them. Because long term, the risk of controlling our kids during their teen years is that they won't want to be close to us. They won't want to be part of our life as they grow up and move out of the house. So take a look, see how you're feeling about your relationship. Look at things you're doing. You know, are you choosing all of your child's courses? Are you pushing specific activities on them? Are you scheduling their daily living? And if you find that you have been over-parenting, helicopter parenting over your children, then take the steps of, number one, looking within yourself and looking at, you know, what does your parenting relationship look like? What's your greatest challenge there? And then two, determining one place where you can begin to give your child space. Then talk to them about it and talk to them about what's going to be happening. Let them have some more space and realize that it might get better before it gets worse. Or it might get worse before it gets better. Wow, that was bad.
might get worse before it gets better.
They need to push those boundaries and understand it. And remember that you can't know your child well if you don't know yourself well. And then we talked about this reverse side too, that if you haven't been stepping up to the plate, if you've been kind of, I guess, parenting under your child.
They call it lawnmower parenting or something like that.
Okay. Then is same concept. Take a step back. Take a look at yourself. What are the challenges? What are you going to do? Have a conversation with your kid. It's just that instead of pulling back, you'll be stepping up. But in this case, it could be even more important and very important to get some outside support and help for yourself to build some new skills, to gain some new strength, to be able to step up into that role. And then remember that it is never too late. Kim, I'm going to put, you know, the book you mentioned, I'll put a link in our show notes on mightyparenting.com. But for anyone who wants to learn more from you, where can they find you?
Well, they can find me on my website, where I have videos and blogs and talk all about my services. It's reallifeparentguide.com. And that's just one L. So reallifeparentguide.com is where they can find me.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much, Kim. And thanks to our listeners for joining us today and being part of the Mighty Parenting community. We invite you all to go to mightyparenting.com to see all that we have to support you in addition to our podcasts. And just want to give you that little weekly reminder that you are a mighty parent. And Sandy and I will see you next week.